take much more time. First I want to thank Public Rabbi Maslow for reaching out to Rabbi Shai Schechter to invite him to speak with us this morning. We decided over the summer that since we're on Zoom, rather than complaining about it, let's try to take full advantage of it. And one of the advantages of it is we can have people speak to us from all over the country. Rabbi Shai Schechter is a phenomenal speaker. He's a big Talmid Chacham. He's a person who has spoken to our base medrash in the past, and we've always enjoyed whenever he's visited. We enjoy his company. I can say he's kind of a friend, actually, a little bit of a colleague. We know each other a while at this time already, and it really is a great honor and a schus. And again, thank you, Rabbi Maslow, for reaching out to Rabbi Schechter and asking Rabbi Shai Schechter to this morning. Please give him your full attention, and I guess, is there going to be questions answered or not?
You tell me.
Whatever Rebbe prefers, but if guys have a question, maybe they should. How about if people have questions, put it in the chat, and then we'll just tell everybody this question in the chat, and we'll pose it to Rebbe. How's that sound?
That's perfect.
Okay, so without further ado, Rabbi Shai Schechter.
Okay, so good morning, everybody. For me, it's already afternoon, and I thank Yula for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today. It's always been a pleasure to visit your yeshiva and to visit your Beis Medrash. And now it's especially wonderful to at least meet each other virtually and share words of Divrei Torah as we all prepare for the upcoming Yamim Noraim. So there's a very famous story told about Rav Naftali Amsterdam. Rav Naftali Amsterdam passed away in 1916, and he was one of the preeminent students of the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And he once commented to his great teacher, to his Rebbe, "If only I had the brilliance, if only I had the genius and the intellect of the great Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and if only I had the heart and the sensitivity and the feeling of the Yesod V'Shorish HaAvoda, who was known to be a great tzaddik of his time, and if only I had the midos, the character, the moderation of you, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, then potentially I would be able to serve God properly. But unfortunately, I don't have that. Unfortunately, I don't have any of that. And therefore, I feel almost stifled that all I'm left with serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what I have." And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that is a big mistake, because with the heart and with the sensitivity and with the mind and the passion of you, Naftali Amsterdam, that is the only way you can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say every day in our davening, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, VeElokei Yaakov. It's in the very first bracha. And one of the great Mefarshim on the Siddur writes, why is it that we don't just streamline and say Elokei HaAvos? Why do we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, VeElokei Yaakov? And the answer is because Yitzchak Avinu was not satisfied just being the child of Avraham Avinu. Of course, Avraham Avinu was very close with the Ribono Shel Olam, and he had a very deep and meaningful relationship with him, but that was not good enough. Yitzchak said, I need to make and develop and cultivate my own relationship. Yaakov Avinu said it was not good enough to be the son or the grandson of a great person. It was an obligation and an opportunity for them to carve out their own relationship and their own experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which in fact, I don't know if you learn Mesilas Yesharim in your yeshiva or not, but at some point in your lives, I'm sure you will come across the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, where the Ramchal, one of the greatest Jewish philosophers in the 1700s, writes an amazing passage. The opening line is that Yisod HaChasidus V'Shorish HaAvoda Tmima. How are we able to really classify what is our responsibility? What is our obligation in the world? Says the Ramchal in the Mesilas Yesharim, our purpose and our mission, our duty and responsibility is Sheyizbarer V'Yisames Eitzel HaAdam Ma Chovaso Ba'olamo. My job in life is to figure out what my job actually is. My job in life is to keep seeking out what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? Not what does he want from everybody else, but I see we have 70 beautiful faces on here, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks each one of us, what is it that I want from you? Not to look at my friend, not to look at my colleague, not to look at my cousin or my neighbor or anybody else, but to look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me and to ask myself, how is it that I can possibly serve him in the best way that is imaginable for me, and in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended to be served? Reb Tzadok HaKoyim Lublin, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes, passed away in 1900, has an amazing line. And he says, you know, the truth is, if a Jew does not believe in God, if you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then obviously there's no reason to be observing any of the mitzvahs. Our observance is predicated on the fact that we believe that there's a God there that we're supposed to be serving, that we're supposed to be keeping and abiding to His laws. Well, says Reb Tzedek HaKohen Lublin, an amazing line, "Kishem shetzarech adam lahamin ba'kadosh baruch hu." The same way that a man needs to believe in God, and obviously, as we said, that is the foundation of all that we do. Kach tzarech lahamin ba'atzmo. Of no less import is the fact that we all need to have confidence and belief in our ability to create and to accomplish in our lives. V'sheyesh la'kadosh baruch hu esek imo, and to always remind ourselves that the Ribbono shel Olam is interested, that He's concerned, that He's attentive to what goes on in our lives. It's very interesting if you look at the very first time that Moshe Rabbeinu is introduced to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, meets the Ribbono shel Olam by the Sneh. And you would think, here you have a nation that's been oppressed for hundreds of years, and finally God is willing to come down and reveal Himself, and He's willing to have a conversation, and He's willing to give over the message that finally the Jewish people are going to start the process of redemption. You would think that the initiation of that discussion, of that conversation, would be something absolutely amazing, and yet it seems to start off with a very mundane conversation. When the Ribbono shel Olam, when God instructs none other than Moshe Rabbeinu, "Al tikrav halom," don't come too close to this fire, because "Shalna alecha me'al raglecha," you need to take your shoes off of your feet. "Ki hamakom asher ata omed aleha ad mas kodeshi." Isn't that strange? The very first interaction, the very first engagement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him to take off his shoes. Is that the most important thing? The great Rav Meir Shapiro, who is well known for being the founder of the Daf Yomi, but he was such an amazing personality. Rav Meir Shapiro built the first yeshiva of its kind. He built Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. I've never been to Lublin, but if you read a little bit about the accomplishment of building that yeshiva, you'll begin to appreciate what kind of personality this man was. It's told also that Rav Meir Shapiro was a part of the parliament in his neighborhood. He was an amazing personality, and he used to fly around the world raising money and politicking and doing all kinds of things, and yet he was a visionary, he was a leader. And Rav Meir Shapiro said, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was told this lesson the first time he engages with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Explains Rav Meir Shapiro, because Moshe Rabbeinu at this juncture was being taught the most critical lesson that every human being needs to know, and that is, "Shalna alecha me'al raglecha." Take your shoes off and stop trying to run and be in a different place. Stop imagining that I was somebody else with a different set of circumstances, with a different family, with a different school and a different community. Because all you need to do in life is recognize, "Ki hamakom asher ata omed aleha admas kodeshi." Exactly where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed you, exactly where God has decided for you to be, the community that you were born into, the family that you are a part of, the school that you are attending, the friends that you have, the accomplishments, the talents, and everything else that is a part of your package, of your makeup, and as part of that we'll say, the challenges that are a part of you as well, all of that is admas kodeshi. All of that is divine and sacred space. That is exactly where I'm supposed to be and nowhere else. And Moshe Rabbeinu was taught on this very first engagement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is what every human being needs to begin to appreciate. That wherever we are is Admas Kodesh. And it's our opportunity to create that and to take full advantage of it. It's very strange. Every day, the highlight of our davening is when we say Kedusha. And it's something that we missed so much during the pandemic. We weren't able to daven tefillah b'tzibur, and as a result of that, we weren't able to say Dvarim Shebekdusha. Now, thank God, Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity to be back together with a minyan, davening safely, but having the opportunity to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the highlight of that davening every day is when we say Nekadesh Hashimcha Ba'olam. In Kedusha we say we want to elevate God's name in the world. Kishem shemagdishim oso b'shmei marom. The same way that the heavenly angels sanctify and glorify God's name, we want to do the very same. Now I ask you, 70 people on this call, is there anybody who thinks that they have the opportunity and the ability to actually praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and glorify His name in a way that is similar to the heavenly angels? I think that's probably an impossibility for almost all of us, if not all of us. Or at least when you think about it now for the first time, maybe we never thought about the words. You ask yourself, what is it that we look forward to? What are we asking for? Do we really believe that we can have the ability to serve and praise and glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way that the angels do? And the Chafetz Chaim explains so beautifully. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that there are a number of angels, a number of malachim, who are designated to do different jobs in heaven. You have Michael, and you have Gavriel, and Raphael, and Eliyahu Hanavi. Everybody has their job. And the Gemara says, Michael ba'achas. When God sends Michael on a job, he goes directly from the Kisei HaKavod, from God's heavenly office, directly down to the place where he's meant to be. And he comes back after his job is done. Eliyahu Hanavi, it takes him 8 stops to get to where he needs to get. So ask the Chafetz Chaim. Eliyahu Hanavi would have every right to turn around and claim to God, this isn't fair. I want to do your will, just like Michael and Gavriel and Raphael want to do your will. We are all created to serve you. Why is it fair that Michael goes immediately, in one stop, he's able to do what he has to do and he comes back, and I have to take 8 stops along the way? I can't take a direct flight. Why is that fair? And Michal has every right to turn to his friend Eliyahu Hanavi and say, this is unfair. Let me take my time. Why am I in such a rush? I would also like to take 8 stopovers and have a nice vacation along the way. Why do I have to go immediately? Why am I in such a rush? And to that, says the Chafetz Chaim, because they all know, I am doing the service of God exactly the way I'm supposed to do it. And therefore, Eliyahu never turns his shoulder and wonders about his friend. And Michal never wonders, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. And we ask God the very same. It's the highlight of our tefillah every day. Nekadesh Hashimcha ba'olam. Give us the strength, give us the fortitude to sanctify your name in the world the same way that the heavenly angels do that. And how do they do it? That each one of them is comfortable with the job that they are given. Kishem shemagdishim oso b'shmei marom. And none of them are ever uncomfortable looking over their shoulder and worrying about how someone else is doing it and why they're doing it this way and why I'm being asked to do it my way. Because I know that I'm doing Meleches HaKodesh. I know that I'm doing exactly what God wants of me. And therefore, this is what we ask HaKodesh Baruch Hu at the highlight of our tefillah every day, because that is one of the most critical lessons, one of the most critical foundations that we need to have as functioning human beings. The reason why I mention all of this is because if you look in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, and there are many who say that there are 10 different prakim in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, which gives us an opportunity to study each one of them during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva and to look through what the Rambam suggests in his understanding is the process of Tshuva. The Rambam has many fascinating statements there, but one of them is so interesting, where he writes and he describes so vividly how the Ribono Shel Olam looks down on his beautiful world, at all the communities, and he sees some that are righteous, some that are virtuous, and he sees others that are completely corrupt and immoral. And he looks at some groups with great satisfaction and with great pride, and he looks at other groups with extreme disappointment and so much frustration. And the Rambam says how God himself hesitates, and he wonders and he makes a calculation. Should I continue to sustain the world that I have created? Should this behavior be nourished and maintained? Or perhaps should all of human existence cease to be a part of this world? And after going through a detailed calculation, the Rambam writes, God finds miraculously that the world is somewhat in a balance. The balance is between virtue and iniquity, and that's basically equal. And the Rambam famously says that an individual's choice of an action at any given moment is what's going to have an important consequence to the world at large, because you are going to be the one who will make that difference. You are going to be the one who will make the world either be lekaf chova or lekaf zechus. You know, we just read a few weeks ago in the Parsha the story of the infamous Ir HaNidachas. And that is the story, the tragic story of a city that has run amok. We read a story about an entire city that has taken a leap of faith in the wrong direction, and they all begin to serve Avodah Zarah. And the Torah tells us, as we're very familiar, God instructs us what the communal response should be. And the Torah says, unconditional intolerance, merciless destruction. There cannot be a remnant or a simple trace to the existence of such a city. So look back at the Psukim when they describe the origins of this horrific downfall of the city. Writes the Pasuk, Yatsu Anashim B'nei Belial, which generally translated means, a group of villains went out into the city and began convincing everybody that this is the way of life. However, the Gemara in Sanhedrin writes, no. Yatsu Anashim B'nei Belial, what it means is, Miut Anashim Shnayim. This entire devastation, this entire destruction was brought about by two people. Two people. All it takes to destroy an entire city is two simpletons, is two detestable and nefarious men who come in, and their actions alone can bring about a negative culture that can wipe an entire city off the map. You ever wonder? I mean, now, most of us probably are not traveling. I assume most of you have not traveled in the last few months. But before that, millions of people traveling every day all over the world, going in and out of airports, connecting flights, going to all different countries and communities. And yet we're told, when we come to the airport, we go through a security checkpoint, and it's frustrating. Ask Rabbi Schreiber, who's on the call, I'm sure he remembers those days, when you showed up in an airport, and it was a breeze. It was no big deal. We came, we left, it was easy, and now it's such a hassle. And now it's so much time, I need to come hours in advance of a flight. Why? Because we need to take all kinds of security measures. Now, one of the things that I need to do is take my shoes off. This really bothers me. Why do I need to take my shoes off? Does anyone really think that I have a liquid bomb inside of my shoe somewhere? It's so irritating, it's so frustrating when an officer makes us get undressed and starts rummaging through our bags to find the smallest tube of toothpaste. Why all of this? Why are millions upon millions of travelers subject to this uncomfortable profiling? You know why? Because there was once an eccentric, unbalanced individual. One crazy man in one corner of the globe at one time in history who figured out how to hide a bomb in his shoe. Look at the power of one individual. Don't doubt the words of the Rambam. I always wondered, can this Rambam really be true? Is it possible that one individual can really make that difference as to where the world is going to go, what the trajectory of our next chapter of history is going to be? Look at the power of one individual. Appreciate for a moment the impact, the influence that a single human being, evil human being, has on all of our lives. On Rosh Hashanah, we're going to read the story about a figure in Tanakh by the name of Elkanah, who is the husband of Chana. Now, generally, for those of us maybe who know a little bit about Tanakh, we're probably more familiar with Chana. But the truth is, Chana, yes, goes down in history as one of the great and courageous women who wrote a beautiful tefillah, but yet Elkanah, her husband, was the Gadol Hador. Elkanah lived in a period in history when the general population was not frequenting Shiloh to do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Chana, as we know, was his wife, and she was unable to conceive for many years until finally she gave birth to a son who is known to all of us as Shmuel HaNavi. Much has been studied and learned about what happened in the powerful experience of Elkanah and Chana, but there's one aspect of the narrative that is shared in the Yalkut Shimoni that perhaps many of us are not familiar with, but it really is relevant to this discussion. Writes the Medrash, Elkanah Hoya Ola L'Regel. Elkanah was a pious Jew, and every year and every Yom Tov, he would go out of his way to travel up to Shiloh, to do the right thing, to visit the Beis Hashem, to do what he was supposed to do. V'hayabba v'lan b'rechov ha'shalir. And every single time he would go and sleep in the village square. Very strange. He didn't take out a hotel. He didn't knock on someone's door. I'm sure everybody would have been happy to host him. You have a great, famous personality shows up in the neighborhood. Who wouldn't want to have him in the house? It wasn't during COVID days. There was no restriction. There was no problem. Everyone would have loved to have him. And yet, he would sleep in the middle of the town square. V'haysa ha-medina mirageshes. The community was so moved. Imagine you wake up in the morning. You go out of your house. And you're on your way to shul. And you see the Gadol Hador is standing in the middle of the town square. V'hayushol l'noso l'heichan ata holeich. And it would just make everybody ask him, Elkanah, what brings you to the neighborhood? Why are you here? And he would use it as an opportunity. You see, if I stay in a hotel, nobody's going to see me. If I go to one person's house, I'm not going to have the impact. But here I am in the middle of the town square, and everybody in the morning, as they're going out to their jobs, as they're going out to work, they're all going to have the opportunity to speak with Elkanah. And he would say, I'm going the Beis Hashem b'Shiloh. To which he would respond, why don't you join us? Miyad einam mishagrim demos. They would start to cry. And the Medrash writes, the next year, 5 families joined him. 10 families joined him. In the end, he got the entire Jewish people in the entire land of Israel to join him in this mission of Aliyah L'Regel. Ad, says the Medrash, shahayu kulam olim. Elkanah understood and Elkanah appreciated the tremendous power of one individual. Elkanah was the Gadol Hador, but that is why. He was running a mission to Shiloh on his own, but he stood firmly against all odds and he made sure to leave a positive impact and impression on the entire Jewish people as a direct result of his self-confidence and his pure conviction. And perhaps that's a reason why we read this story on Rosh Hashanah. It's not only because we want to remind ourselves of the tefillah of Chana and the ability that a person can really impact their future by having a sincere experience of tefillah, but perhaps it's to remind us that a major part of the tshuva process is to remember how powerful an individual is and how much they have the opportunity to change the course of history forever. The concluding story in Parsha Shoftim speaks about a homeless man who has been found dead outside of a city, and it is unknown to us exactly who he is, who is responsible for his death, what he may or may not have accomplished in his life, and yet the Torah instructs the leaders of the neighboring city that they have to leave the city to perform a ceremony over this anonymous and unidentified corpse. Because as Jews, we pay our respects and we value the potential of every human being, regardless of his status, regardless of his personal accomplishment, regardless of who his parents are and what community he lives in. We do not differentiate between who we perceive as the greatest Jew or who perhaps is the homeless in the street, who nobody ever really knows much about, who maybe has not accomplished as much as we may have thought in life, because we believe that innate in both of them is the opportunity to change the world for the better. Either one of them can leave an indelible mark on the entire world. And that is something that cannot be overlooked. We are not just a small and insignificant part of the world. Part of what holds us back is sometimes that we feel we're in a global community. And we feel the world is such a big place that we don't have a place. And it holds us back from being strong, from making a difference, from being bold. And that is such a mistake, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells all of us, you have a mission. You have a purpose. Shana alecha me'al raglecha, and begin to realize, ki hamakom asher ata omed aleha, don't ever forget that the place where you stand is admas kodeshi. And that is what we think about as we enter into this season of slichos, into the season of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom HaKippurim. We think so much about the opportunities that God gives us in our lives to make a major difference in His world that He created. What a gift that is, and how lucky we are if only we build the self-confidence to take advantage of this tremendous gift. We daven every day. It's a bracha in Shmona Esrei. But the truth is, we say it on Rosh Hashanah as well. Tika b'shofar gadol l'cheirusenu. It's part of our tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, where obviously we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us that opportunity to experience a geula. Tika b'shofar gadol l'cheirusenu. Give us that opportunity to experience that shofar gadol that God will blow, that we will all hear when it comes time for our redemption. V'sa neis l'kabetz galuyosenu. Such a beautiful tefillah. This is really borrowed from a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya, which the Medrash picks up on and wonders, what does it mean? Perhaps none of us ever thought of this. Tika b'shofar gadol l'cheirusenu. What is a big shofar? If there's a big shofar, does that mean there's also a little shofar? And why are we singling out the big shofar? What's the big and what's the little? What is the reference here? And the Medrash seems to say that there are two very historic shofaros that are being referred to here. Tikab is shofar gadol lecheruseinu, is the shofar of Avram Avinu. We're all familiar with the story of the Akedah. When Avram Avinu was willing to sacrifice everything, and yet in the last moment, right before he kills his own child, we know that Avram Avinu is told to take Yitzchak off of the Mizbeach, not to sacrifice, not to offer his child. And yet we're told that there was an ayel achar nechaz besvach, that Avram Avinu went and took something else in its place. That is the shofar that we refer to as the shofar gadol. And what is a shofar katan by contrast? That is the shofar that God himself blew at Har Sinai. This is so counterintuitive. I would have said the shofar that God blew, the kolot subrakim, that is the shofar gadol. That is the most famous and historic shofar that's ever been blown in the Jewish community. And yet that is just the shofar katan. When we say tekab is shofar gadol lecheruseinu, which shofar is God going to take and usher in our redemption? That is going to be the shofar of Avram Avinu that's referred to as the shofar gadol. How do you understand that? Perhaps what it means is, there's one major difference between what happened at Har Sinai and what happened at Har HaMoriah. Yisir of Soloveitchik writes, there are two very critical mountains that are part of our history. One obviously is Har Sinai, where we became the Jewish people, where we accepted Nasa v'Nishma, where we accepted God's leadership. And the other one is, as we know, Har HaMoriah. Har HaMoriah is the place where Avram Avinu performed the Akedah. Har HaMoriah is the place where we had the Beis HaMikdash, the first one and the second. And Amir Tzah Hashem will have the third as well. Two very significant mountains. But there's something very strange about these two mountains. We're told that right after the experience of Har Sinai was over, the mountain Har Sinai, everyone was able to go up. You can do what you want. It had no everlasting Kedusha. There was nothing there after it was over. And yet Har HaMoriah, thousands of years later, we have no Beis HaMikdash. There's an Isser for us to go in certain parts of the Har HaBayis. It retains its Kedusha. What is the difference? Explains Rav Soloveitchik. It's very simple. The Kedusha, the sanctity that came to Har HaMoriah is because we invested in it. It's because Avram Avinu gave of himself and was willing to sacrifice. It's because the Jews for so many millennia were willing to give everything they had to have a Beis HaMikdash and to give of themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beis HaMikdash or not, that Kedusha, that sacrifice that we were willing to give is something that will last forever. It doesn't matter whether there's a structure there. It doesn't matter what happens thousands of years later. That is something that we worked hard to create, and therefore it is there for all eternity. That Kedusha, that sanctity, is something that is everlasting. Har Sinai is a very significant and historic mountain, but at the same time, we did nothing to deserve that Kedusha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, gave us the Torah, and He left. There's nothing that we invested in making that experience happen. And therefore that Kedusha, although it was a very intensified Kedusha, because God was there, once He left, it was over. Tekab is shofar gadol lecheruseinu. You know what brings about Geula? You know what brings about our redemption, which we so badly need? We live in a dangerous time. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a place where we don't know ma yulad yom. What will tomorrow bring? We have no idea. But one thing we do know is, the way that redemption comes is with the shofar gadol. It's not going to be only with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to be with the shofar that Avram Avinu invested of himself to blow. With the experience that Avram Avinu wished to give of himself, to sacrifice of himself. The only way Geula happens is if we are willing to believe in ourselves that we can make it happen. It's not going to happen by itself. It's the Ribono Shel Olam begging all of us, believe in yourselves, believe in the possibility that you can change the world and make it a better place than it was before you came here. Believe in the individual. Yes, we live in a global community. And yes, we have so much information coming in at us from everywhere. And yes, we're overwhelmed sometimes by the vast opportunity that the world at large has for itself. But don't let that cloud your vision. Don't allow that to bring you down and to ever doubt your ability to change the course of history. In fact, the Gemara writes in Maseches Sanhedrin that Hillel was once sitting with his friends and he said, "Ein Mashiach li Yisrael." Hillel said, "There will not be a Mashiach for the Jewish people." That was a horrific comment. And his friend Rabbi Yosef turns to him and he says, "Sharalei Mari le Hillel. I hope God can find a place in his heart to forgive you. How can you dare say such a thing? There's not going to be a Mashiach. Do you not know the Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmuna? You don't know what our belief stands for. You don't know what the Jewish people represent. How can you say in Mashiach li Yisrael?" Now, what did Hillel mean? Was he an apikoris? Was he a non-believer? Of course not. So what did he mean? Rashi explains, all Hillel meant was, we want that God should reveal himself b'chvodo v'atzmo. We don't want any intermediaries. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come in the end of days, and He should be the one to redeem us. Ein Mashiach li Yisrael. We don't need any human intermediaries involved in this process. We want God to do it Himself, the same way He did by Yetzias Mitzrayim. So then ask Rav Soloveitchik, why is this such a horrific comment? Why were his friends so mortified when they heard him say that? Isn't it beautiful? He wants to have a close and intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to see what God is all about. What are you getting excited about? What's the problem? Ein Mashiach li Yisrael is a beautiful statement. Says Rav Soloveitchik, just as unacceptable as it is to say Ein Mashiach li Yisrael, that you don't believe in Mashiach, it is equally as unacceptable for a person to say that I don't believe that I have the ability to bring about the Mashiach. It is unacceptable for us to believe that we cannot write the next chapter of Jewish history. It is unacceptable for us to believe that we can just sit back and allow history to play itself out. That is not why we're here. Like the Ramchal that we started with, what God wants from all of us is to ask ourselves that penetrating question, Ma chovaso ba'olamo? What is it that I can accomplish? What is it that I can contribute? What is it that I can do that will make this world a different place? Like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, one should always imagine to themselves that the world is something that needs my contribution, that the world is a place, an environment that looks forward to my contribution, that cares about what I have to bring to the story of humanity. That is what the Ribono Shel Olam wants of all of us. But in order to do that, it requires a person to believe kishem shatzarich adam lahamin ba'kadosh baruch hu, the same way that I need to believe in God, kach tzarich adam lahamin ba'atzmo. If I don't believe in myself, if I don't build and develop that self-confidence, I will never be able to accomplish anything. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. And as we come into Chodesh Elul and closer to Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippur, Maaseres Yemei Tshuva, and we get into this process of self-reflection, and we get into this opportunity of thinking about what the Ribono Shel Olam wants of all of us, let us just remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us everything in life to be successful in exactly what He wants us to do. And it's our challenge, it's our mission, it's our duty, it's our obligation, and it's our opportunity to take advantage of everything that God has given us and to make the best possible contribution to the Jewish community, to the world at large, and most importantly, to ourselves. So let me just take this opportunity to wish all of you a ksiva v'chasima tova. We should all be written b'sifran shel tzadikim. We should have a year of only besuras tovas and wonderful things. And I wish all of you only continued success in all that you do. It's amazing that you all chose to still be on, to come to yeshiva. I know it's hard, it's difficult, it's complicated. The whole world is complicated right now. The truth is, the world is always pretty complicated. It's never simple. But that's our job, to fix it and to make it a better place. And we know that it's all of you that are going to make that happen. Shana Tova to all of you. And thank you so much, Rabbi Schreiber, for putting this together.